Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, welcome into Gwen and Chris, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Kicking off the sports weekend with another day of March Madness. We'll get you caught up on the scoreboard around the country in college basketball. Chris Ello and Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Peoria with the Padres, who play a little bit later on this evening. We'll be hanging out with you until 6 o'clock. Looking forward to the program. Tony, we missed you yesterday on the opening day of March Madness, a day in which Princeton shocked Arizona and took me out of the running to win any bracket
me
pools.
Too.
I picked Arizona to win the national championship, so anything that I do in the bracket is pretty much wiped out from here on out. But I'm pretty sure Princeton busted quite a few brackets. Furman took care of a few brackets as well by upsetting Virginia. It was a great day of college basketball, and it included an Aztec victory over the College of Charleston. So that was the key moment yesterday. The Aztecs hung tough in a tight game, Tony, and they prevailed. And as the old saying goes, you survive and you advance.
Yes, indeed. And they made sure we all had some heartburn throughout the process of it, but they get it done again. They get it done again. It was a good victory for them. It was a weird game. They didn't play well. They didn't play that well offensively. You could tell that they seemed to be a little bit nervous early in that game.
I thought
before things kind of settled down. But it's nice to, as you said, survive in advance, and now they'll get Furman as their next opponent.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for. Furman looked pretty good against Virginia. Although they had to, you know, they really stole the game. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Virginia has a 4-point lead with 15 seconds to go. Furman gets gets a bucket, and then he threw it up. Who did you say? My man threw the ball up.
My man just panicked.
Your man panicked. And, you know, the thing was, is he's a veteran player. He was actually on Virginia's 2019 national championship team, a senior season, and he got caught in the corner and just threw that ball away. They had a timeout. All he had to do was take the timeout, and they would have been fine. But threw the ball away, and give Furman credit. They came down, kid hit the three, and Furman advances to the to play the Aztecs. Now, that is the good news for the Aztecs. They are in the second round of the NCAA tournament. The bad news is that they're playing in about 15 minutes. I am so frustrated with the NCAA right now, and I'm sure that I'm just speaking as a fan right now. I cannot believe that the NCAA put the Aztecs game tomorrow at 9:10 in the morning. I don't ever remember seeing a basketball game, a team playing at that hour on their body clock.
Yes, of course.
Well, no, there's games that start at 9:10 a.m., but they don't normally feature West Coast teams that are on clock.
Okay. I can see what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I gotta believe there's been at least there's been a couple. I mean, there's so many tournaments. They can't avoid West Coast teams not playing an early game every time. I would think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Aztecs are the first ones, but.
I don't think it's happened before. Yeah, I don't think you're wrong, Tony. I just am ticked off. I just think the word unfair just comes to my mind. Now, there is another game at 9 a.m. tomorrow. That's actually, never mind, that's an NIT game. So it's the only NCAA game that's starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Duke and Tennessee are playing at 11:30. Now, those are two East Coast schools. Why couldn't they play that game at 9:10 Pacific time and give the Aztecs a reasonable start time of 11:40? I think it's inherently unfair. I know that Brian Dutcher, I know these kids are not going to use it as an excuse. They're going to say, hey, this is just another challenge. We got to overcome it. But I think asking, you know, kids that have been on the East Coast for 2 days to, you know, adjust their body clocks and have them ready to play a 9:10 a.m. game is really going to be difficult. I think it's going to be a challenge, and hopefully the Aztecs can play a whole lot better than they did yesterday and overcome that challenge. But I'm not pleased. I'm not pleased.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, I'm gonna try not to give this too much of my energy in terms of being upset about it. I think the Aztecs got a good chance, regardless of whether the game's at 12 midnight or 8 in the morning, like it's going to be. I think they got a good chance. I thought they started to play the Aztec brand of basketball in that second half as they started to pull in and then kind of push away from that ball club. It was a tough matchup just from the standpoint of how Charleston played. I mean, they were just chunking them up there. It didn't – three, bad three. They were taking it, and we knew that going in. And I think at times because the floor was so spread, they got some easy layups. But I thought the start best can happen. I feel like that's what we're going to see from them in this next matchup on Saturday.
I think they're going to play a lot more confident in this game tomorrow than they did yesterday. Yeah. And I thought that they definitely played nervous at the beginning. And I don't know that they ever got their confidence until late in the ball game. Certainly Matt Bradley had his confidence throughout the game. I mean, it's a good thing he was on the charter because he was the one guy that was able to take over, get a bucket when they really needed it, Tony. And, you know, last year's team relied solely on Matt Bradley. This year's team hasn't had to, but yesterday they kind of did. He was the one offensive constant that they had, and he pulled through. Now, that's another piece of good news because there's a bunch of guys yesterday that did not play their game, and I think Seiko, you know, never got free. He's got to hunt his shot a little bit, and he scores only 1 point. And Nathan Mensah not really dominating on the defensive end the way he's capable of doing that. And Darian Trammell still trying to find his rhythm a little bit. These are three guys that I know can play at a whole lot higher level, and I expect them to play at a higher level. I even think Ladie and Rope and Butler can play a lot better than they did yesterday. And Micah Parrish, too, for that matter. He hit a huge three at the end of the game. I mean, that was, you know, was the one that put them up by five. But, you know, throughout the game, Parrish was kind of floating and didn't really have a lot of impact. So the Aztecs all year long have been a nine-man team. Yesterday, they kind of went back to depending on Bradley. I think tomorrow they're going to be back to a nine-man team, and I think that's going to make it tough for Furman. At least I hope it does. So
that works in the NCAA tournament, by the way, having that one guy that is just tough to stop. And, you know, I think it plays to the Aztecs' benefit that they have been a nine-man team all year long. And when they got into a situation yesterday where they could just hand the ball to Bradley and say, go get us a bucket, I think that's going to serve them well. I really, really do. I thought the other thing was, and, you know, mind you, I'm watching the game without any sound because I'm also doing the Padres
game
game's going on.
See, I guess somebody can do two things at once because I certainly proved I couldn't yesterday, Tony.
Well, how was that, Tony?
Why don't you give Tony a little idea of how I sounded the first half hour of the show yesterday?
There was just a lot of nerves. That's all. I don't even know how nerves sound, but that's how it sounded.
I was panicked doing the first half hour of the show yesterday.
I also said yesterday that I thought I was going to be able to handle the show and the game at the same time a lot better than I did. Things got a little dicey there at the end, and I had to put my full attention on the game. So, but Chris, you were doing a good job.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, I think from my standpoint, I'm watching the game, and, you know, I'm only really watching in between pitches every once in a while and in between innings. And it seemed like every time, and you mentioned Ladee, it seemed like every time I pick my head up, he's on the boards. And so I don't know exactly how many boards he ended up with, but
10.
I was thinking throughout that time with 10. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like he was cleaning up on the boards, especially in the second half. He was a grown man down there, and I think they didn't really have an answer for that. Those rebounds, every one of those rebounds he came up with, was in a critical spot. It seemed like whether Charleston had gotten the score within range, they miss a shot, he go up and get an offensive rebound. He go up and get a defensive rebound. So although maybe offensively he wasn't as much as you want. He almost got a double-double in yesterday's game. 8-10 is what he finished with.
Yeah.
He was a guy with no sound, stood out to me during that game. Him and Matt Bradley were the two guys,
right,
when you're watching and you don't have commentators kind of telling you what's going on, they stood out to me just on the computer screen.
Yeah, no, I agree. Ladee, if he does the exact same thing tomorrow, I'll be okay with him. But I think he can also impose his will even a little bit more than he did yesterday. And I think the Aztecs themselves can impose their will a little bit more than they did yesterday. They seemed to let Charleston dictate a little bit. But you're right, the rebounding was a big deal. Yeah. The Aztecs were +6 there. The fact that they stopped turning the ball over, they opened the game with 6 turnovers in the first 6 minutes. It was ugly to watch. But then they only had 8 turnovers the rest of the game. So they were able to contain that. And down the stretch, the last 5 minutes of the game, they didn't have a single turnover. So they executed when it was toughest to execute.
Yeah.
And they played like a...
And wasn't that what Coach told us the other day in our interview? We know down the stretch who the guys are
what
who are going
to
gonna execute.
Yeah.
And know what to do.
Yeah, and they proved that yesterday. So they did a lot of good things. They did a lot of good things. And, look, there's nobody is going to give back a victory in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they got the win. That's all that really matters. They don't really ask how. They ask how many. And for the Aztecs, it was a victory.
That's right.
And they move on. And, look, there's some other teams that wish they were moving on. And so, I'm never going to complain about that. But I am going to complain about the 9:10 a.m. start time tomorrow. And then I'll be done. And I
have a feeling we're going to hear this quite often during this show.
You might hear it about 7 more times. I'm just worried that, I might have to go to sleep at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. You guys may have to do the last 2 hours of the shows yourself. I mean, I have to be up early. This is an early start. I mean, you got to get prepared. You got to lay out all your snacks. I mean,
snacks.
Gotta have my snacks for
snacks.
The big game. I know. There's no snacks at 9:10 in the morning.
I didn't know there was a round of 32 parties.
There is when the Aztecs make it.
Good point.
All right, let's update you on a couple of games that are going on. There are 3 games in progress right now. One of them is the lower seed team has a lead. That is 11-seeded Pittsburgh. They're leading the 6-seed Iowa State 36-25. There's still 15 minutes to play here. This is a game that featured what I was talking about last week and the week before, Tony. It features a number 6 seed in Iowa State that had to play a team that got to play in the first round. And Pitt played 2 nights ago. They came in. They were ready to go. Iowa State was caught napping. Pitt jumped out to a 22-4 lead in this game. Iowa State, to their credit, has worked itself somewhat back in the game, but they're still down by 11 with 15 minutes to play. So I always feel that 6 team that has to play an 11 seed that gets a play-in game, that's a very tough challenge.
Yeah, you said that, and that's it makes a lot of sense. A team that is already kind of off and rolling in some regards, you could argue, right? Like, that was the Padres last year, right? They had that series against
got a series under their belts. Yeah, and you're right.
Dodgers come in, ain't played in a week.
Yeah,
and you know it looked like they were a little rusty. And
Same thing happened to the Braves in the other series against the Phillies. So you're right. But
so
anyway,
it makes some sense. There's some credence to the fact that you can kind of get your juices flowing and kind of get into that mix, settle into what's going on, and be more comfortable than a team that's coming out, probably a little bit of jitters, probably a little bit of nerves, and all that.
Yeah, no doubt. Pitt jumped out to a huge lead. They're trying to hang on to it. Elsewhere, they're just starting the second half, another 11-6 matchup. North Carolina State and Creighton, they're tied 30-30. And midway through the first half, UConn, a 4-seed, leads Rick Pitino's Iona squad 27-23. So those are the scores of the games that are going on right now. Earlier today, Michigan State, Baylor, Marquette, St. Mary's, and Xavier all advanced. Xavier had the biggest scare. They were down 13 late in the second half and rallied to beat Kennesaw State. I was watching a lot of that game. Kennesaw State's a team that the Aztecs beat by 30 points earlier this year, and they were there with a big chance to go on to the second round. They just couldn't hang on. When we come back, the program is underway, but plenty of Padre news. Tony's in Peoria. We've got the very latest on the Friars ahead of their game tonight in spring training, and we'll set the stage for the rest of the show as well. So stick around. Gwynn and Chris underway Friday afternoon on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
2:21 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Padres night game tonight against the Mariners. We will have that game.
Natural geographical rivalry.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is one of the hottest rivalries in all of baseball.
It gets huge. You know what? You turn it up a notch when you play the Mariners.
Even
in spring training.
This gets the blood blowing, for sure.
Blood glowing.
Never miss a moment.
This is a turf war, Tony. They share the same complex.
They do share the same facility. Yeah. Never miss a moment from 97.3 The Fan again. With the free Odyssey app, you can download podcasts from your favorite talk shows and listen whenever, wherever works best for you. Now, Scraby, is my connection any better?
I think it is. What do you think, Chris?
You think it is?
Sounds good to me.
What do you think, Tony?
All right. I can't tell yet. Chris hasn't had to, like, wait for me to finish talking long after I had actually finished talking yet. So you guys will only be able to... It sounds better. All right, good. Michael Wacha looked good again in his outing. He had a couple off the end of bats he gave up early. But for the most part, he's looked well. Again, he spoke after the game. We got a chance to hear from him. Well, here's what he had to say.
I would say pretty much right on track. Got a couple more starts before the regular season starting up. But, yep, just building that pitch count. Still got a few things to work on, I would say, you know, in between these next couple starts. You know, that's just, you know, getting the command back on some pitches. You know, getting ahead of guys. I don't really like falling behind. Doesn't really set me up too well later on in that bat. But overall, you know, I feel like I'm right on schedule. Ball feels good coming out. Body feels good. And, you know, excited about what's ahead.
Waka's like a huge...
I had a fun conversation.
I'm sorry, Tony. I stepped all over you. It was a...
No, it's all good. We can't see each other, so I didn't know you were going to talk. You didn't know I was going to talk, so it's all good. I was going to say, real quick, I had a fun conversation before Nick Martinez left to go to the WBC with him and Waka, just talking, because there's some similarities in how those two guys attack hitters. They both use that changeup as kind of like their best secondary pitch, and they were talking about their evolution and how, you know, when they started to really, you know, have success. And for Nick, it obviously happened in Japan, but for Waka, they started being able to use their changeups to right-handed hitters, it really opened up, you know, different sequences for him. And it was just a fun conversation to hear two guys who had similar thoughts in how they attack hitters have that conversation. And yesterday during the game, you could see Waka kind of really working, trying to hone in, as he said, on some of those pitches.
Thing I like is that Michael Waka, not an afterthought at all, Tony, but when you think about it, coming into spring training, the Padres didn't have Michael Waka, right? Or at least it was a day or two before the start of spring training, they signed Michael Waka.
Right.
And then everybody kind of says, well, all right, you know, we'll see if this guy can help us out. Guess what? He's going to be a huge part of what they do in April and May, and hopefully, you know, going forward after that, because, you know, we've got Musgrove most likely going to open on the injured list, or at least probably miss a start or two. Darvish now is a little bit in question because of the way Japan is using him in the World Baseball Classic. The Padres have, and you know, Nick Martinez is pitching for Team USA. The Padres have three guys left in their starting rotation that have been at spring training the entire time and are 100% healthy, and that's Snell, Waka, and Lugo. And so, you know, just think where they'd be without Waka right now. So, right. I mean, it's like right. He was a guy that they got, and everybody said, well, that's nice. Well, you bet it's nice, because, I mean, he's going to be a big, big asset, I think, to them in the beginning of the season and hopefully beyond that.
I mean, just think. I mean, both Waka and Seth Lugo have been, you know, arguably some had the best spring so far. I mean, Blake Snell has thrown the ball wonderfully as well. He seems to be on a mission right now. And at one point, you're right, when Michael Waka signed, I think, you know, for baseball heads, you know, okay, this is a really good pitcher we get near.
Yeah.
But it was kind of an afterthought. But he's certainly going to be a big part of this rotation. And you could all starting to see it come together, because the truth of the matter is, regardless of what happens with Darvish, he's going to be ready one way or the other. Even if it's not opening day, it's not coming long thereafter. The way it looks with Joe is it looks the same way. It doesn't look like he's going to miss his turn in the rotation. Now, whether it comes, you know, second or third or fourth or fifth, because they got to give the toe a chance to heal and for his arm to catch up, I think it's going to be a heck of a lot closer than it originally sounded when he dropped that kettlebell weight on him. So the
yes.
Padres, I think they're in good shape right now, regardless of what happened. I know, you know, there was we talked about the uneasiness that Bo Mel had yesterday talking about Yu Darvish, but I think in the big scheme of things, it's not going to be that big of a deal. If you've been around Yu Darvish, the one thing he's not going to be is not prepared.
Yeah.
So even if he came in relief to throw two innings, I wouldn't even put it nowhere remotely past him that he went to the bullpen after those two innings and threw however many pitches he needed to throw and probably simulated sitting down, getting up. That's how efficient Yu Darvish is with this work. But if you're Bo Mel, you still feel a little more comfortable knowing exactly how he's going to be used. But I think the Padres are in a good spot because of the pitching they have. And don't forget, Cole Hamels at some point is going to be available as well.
That's right. Yeah, later on. Let's put it this way. The Padres' starting rotation, if you have any question marks at all, is in a whole lot better shape than the Dodgers' starting rotation is. Dave Roberts said today that right-hander Tony Gonsolin will not be ready for opening day because of this sprained ankle that he has. Of course, Gonsolin was 16-1 last year. He's kind of a key guy, 2.14 ERA. Now, who's going to fill Gonsolin's spot? According to the Associated Press, coming out of Scottsdale, the candidates to do it are Ryan Pepiot, Michael Grove, and Andre Jackson. That sounds like a singing group. I don't know who any of those three guys are. I've heard of Pepiot a little bit, but you know Grove?
Yeah, Pepiot's pitched against the Padres, so has Jackson. I saw Grove the other day, and he looked nasty. I'm just going to say that. I don't know.
Shouldn't be surprised.
I think he's a young dude. Right. I think he's a young dude. But both Jesse and I was like, who is this dude? And then so we start asking questions. Oh, yeah, this is the Grove kid. He's a young dude. And, yeah, he looked pretty good. We'll All see right. if that ends up happening. But, yeah, they're certainly in a better position than, say, the Dodgers for sure, than, say, some of these other teams that don't even necessarily have people injured, just don't necessarily have the type of bodies that the Padres have.
Yeah, they don't. So, you know, right, be careful what you wish for. I might be hoping that Gonsolin being out is a benefit to the Padres, and you might have guys like Grove or Jackson or Pepiot come in and pitch lights out. But there's certainly a big question mark where the Padres, I don't think, have as many questions right now, at least at this point.
No, I 100% agree. And by the end of this week, all of their big dogs offensively will probably be in a lineup, one of these spring training lineups before this week ends, because I believe Manny's supposed to be back later on today, as well as Nelson and Juan. Now, whether they get a day off Saturday or today or Saturday, that remains to be seen to kind of get reacclimated. But I have a feeling you're going to see that big dog lineup all up all at one time. So,
oh boy,
we'll get a chance to see that. Step away, take a break, and come back. World Baseball Classic continues their quarterfinal action. J.J. Watt is enjoying retirement. His first hole in one, it sounds like. We got a bunch of stuff we'll get into when we return. More Gwen and Chris.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, very happy Friday to you. Welcome back inside, Gwen and Chris. 2:37 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Mr. Scraby. Quick update on the NCAA tournament scoreboard. About 6 minutes to play. Pitt trying to pull away from Iowa State. 44-30. 30 is all Iowa State has with 6 minutes to go in that basketball game. So the matchup of a team that already played once in the tournament against a team that is making its debut, decidedly one-sided at the moment in favor of Pittsburgh. 44. It's only 30 points for Iowa State.
My picks suck this year.
Your picks suck. We'll get to those in a second, Tony. Don't worry about it. We haven't forgotten you.
It makes me not even want to watch the tournament other than San Diego State now.
That's okay. That's all right. I mean, as long as San Diego State's in it.
Just pitiful.
Pitiful, says Tony. We'll check on how pitiful. 7 minutes to go in the second half. Creighton leads North Carolina State 56-47. Is that one okay, Tony? Making any less pitiful? A little.
Nope. Making it more pitiful.
More pitiful.
Creighton's winning.
Creighton's by 9 with 7 minutes to go. And yeah, then at pitiful. Halftime, I know this one's not going to help anybody, but 13th seed Iona, Rick Pitino's team, leads 4 seed UConn 39-37. A lot of people have UConn advancing quite a ways in the bracket. Scraby, speaking of the brackets,
yes.
We had 129 people sign up for our fun bracket.
Bragging rights only bracket.
Bragging rights bracket.
Do we have to
only.
Talk about this?
Yes,
we do. Because I'm near the top, so I want to talk about it while I'm still there.
All
I'm
right.
Not going to be there for long.
Well, we did, as Chris said, have a great turnout.
I'm so literally at the bottom.
I'll get to you in a second. I have to tell you guys who's leading right now, and that would be Jeff. His bracket is named One Shining Moment. Jeff has UConn winning it all, but
nice job, Jeff.
Jeff has 18 points.
18
so,
and 3.
Yeah.
Very good.
And there's actually quite a few players with 17 points. Chris, you're one of those. You are tied for second right now with 17 points.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm 17 and 4. Things have been going my way. But keep in mind, I picked Arizona to win it all. And
yes,
they're
you did.
And they're done.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
Eventually, that's going to catch up with me.
It might catch up with you.
Yeah.
Now I'm no better. I mean, I am 13 of 63 correct picks. I'm 90th right now. There's so much red on my bracket, I can't even see the green because there's none. So.
Right.
Now Tony is somehow just one behind me. But he is tied for 100 and it doesn't even say here that's how low you
ninth.
Are. 109th.
109th.
All right. You're ahead of 20 people, Tony.
You still got
yeah, that's my silver lining right there is I'm ahead of 20 people.
Go.
You still got 3 of your final 4 teams. Chris still has let's see. You have 3 of your final 4 teams, but your champion is gone.
Yeah.
I have 3 of my final 4 teams, but my runner-up is gone. So
yeah, well, a lot of people have
my runner-up is gone too.
Lost on Arizona. Yeah, Tony had Arizona going quite a ways.
Oh
as
yeah,
well,
yeah.
So.
Playing Houston in the championship.
Yeah, it's just not. It's you know, like I said, 17-4 sounds good, but it's a paper bracket because without with your champion already knocked out, you don't really have much chance moving forward. So.
Even my champion team is all banged up now, so they probably getting beat next game.
Yeah, Houston's star player, Sasser, got pulled out of the game at halftime yesterday, and they don't know that he's going to be able to play moving forward. So that could be a bad sign for Houston. All right, let's move on to the World Baseball Classic. And tonight is the quarterfinal matchup. Viva Mexico. Mexico taking on Puerto Rico in the quarterfinals tonight down in Miami, Florida. Tomorrow night, the United States will play Venezuela in the other quarterfinal. Cuba and Japan have already advanced. If the United States wins tomorrow, they would move on to face Cuba. If Mexico wins tonight, they would move on to face Japan. Let's talk a little bit about the Mexico team, Tony. I mean, you know, just south of the border here, I bet they're pretty excited about what's going on here. They got Urias on the mound tonight, so even though Puerto Rico's played well, I think that gives Mexico a fighting chance because Urias could pitch a great ball game.
Nah, there's no doubt. If you don't think Mexico got some players right now, you're not paying close attention.
Rosarena's been there. Going crazy.
Going nuts. I mean, he plays well on these stages. We saw it in the playoffs. This is his type of atmosphere, if you will. They got some good pitching. The Meneses kid, remember we saw him for the Nationals last year. He was wearing the Padres out.
Yeah.
He's had that big 3-run shot off the USA team when Mexico beat him. And then you got Alan Trejo. I saw him score a run. I haven't paid close attention to see like who's getting burned, but they got a good roster over there. The teams that are remaining are teams that can win it, quite frankly.
Yeah, six teams left.
That's the thing that I think we forget. When you get in the game of baseball, unlike – we've talked about this. Unlike football and basketball, best players don't always win. You know, that's what I'm saying. And so you get in a 9-inning game, anybody can be beat. And so all these teams that are remaining, I think, can all win it.
I agree with you. And but, you know, I'm just – Mexico's been really overlooked in this tournament. And, you know, I'd like to see – now, Puerto Rico, we didn't get your thoughts on what happened to Edwin Diaz in the victory over Dominican Republic. I think the number one feeling on this should be just feeling really crappy for Edwin Diaz. I mean, this is a guy that – you know, one of the top relievers in baseball, a guy that signed a monster contract. I think it was the highest contract for any closer in baseball history this offseason. And to be lost for an entire year because you come down wrong while you're celebrating a victory. You know, as I said this yesterday, Tony, the old man in me says, well, that's what you get for celebrating. But the realist in me says, no, wait a minute. I like celebrating. That's you should be able to celebrate.
Right.
Not everybody should get injured celebrating a great victory like they had over Dominican Republic. So feel badly for Edwin Diaz. But a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork saying, well, this is why I told you the World Baseball Classic's stupid and they shouldn't do it. And
of course.
I mean, why do people – the haters are circling the wagons, as it were, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think a couple things. I think that is – people have been waiting for something like that to happen, the people who don't like the World Baseball Classic. But I tell you what, I think Francisco Lindor's comments were telling. And he's on that Puerto Rico team with Edwin Diaz. He's also Edwin Diaz's teammate in New York.
Yes.
And – what he said to me was really telling. He basically, in my own words, what he basically said was, we get it. People don't think this is very important, but we think it's important. We want to win this tournament. And he was talking about his teammates. And I bet you that's the reason why a lot of these dudes are playing. They want to play. They went out and got insurance. All of them who are in the big leagues went out and got insurance so that they could play. So clearly they went through those hoops because they think it's important. And so those who don't want to get it will never get it. And listen, those who are upset because it affects their team, I get that. I'm not mad at those folks who feel some type of way about it. But this for those guys, it's bigger than, you know, just being a big leaguer. This probably makes them all feel like they did when they were younger playing. You know, it's less business, less grind. This is like you go out, you're competing against another country, you win. You want to win. That's just how it goes. And so, you know, there's a segment of folks, Chris, that will never like the WBC, and that's fine. It's not, maybe it's not for everybody. The people who think that it's the excitement is fake, they're just pitiful folks, honestly. Nobody's making up that kind of excitement just for the sake of it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, the United States team plays Venezuela. Now, they haven't announced the starters for that game yet, but I got to tip my cap to my man Mike Trout, who I always give a bit of a hard time to. I always say that Mike Trout is slightly overrated. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that to say that he's always looked upon as the greatest player in the history of baseball. Well, guess what? He showed up the other night like he was the greatest player in the history of baseball.
Yes,
he had three for three, drove in all three runs, basically carried Team USA to its victory over Colombia and on into the quarterfinals. So I tip my cap to Mike Trout. I also tip my cap to the way that a tournament works, Tony. You saw this, I'm assuming. The United States was ahead of Colombia by one run going to the bottom of the ninth inning in that game the other night. The only way that Colombia could have eliminated the U.S. and advanced itself was to win by three runs. The only way they could win by three runs is if somebody hit a grand slam. So the thinking was a walk-off grand slam. So the thinking was John Smoltz and Joe Davis were doing the play-by-play were explaining if Colombia were to get the bases loaded in that bottom of the ninth inning, Mark DeRosa would have intentionally walked two straight batters to lose the game, but make sure that they only lost by one run, and as a result, the United States advanced. Thank goodness that didn't happen, because that would have been a crazy optic to have the United States intentionally losing the game on back-to-back intentional walks. But such is pool play.
We would have been talking about that for weeks.
For weeks and weeks. But fortunately, Ryan Pressly retired the side in order in the bottom of the ninth, and it didn't matter. So United States has advanced, and they'll take on. And Venezuela's been probably, other than Japan, the best team in the tournament, 4-0. So it's going to be a good game tomorrow night.
That Venezuela team is really good. This is going to be a tough matchup, I think, for United States. We're quick on Mike Trout. A lot of times, Chris, first of all, I appreciate your skepticism on just crowning Mike Trout the greatest player of all time, right? Because that's really what you're getting at, because that's how he is presented a lot of times. But I also think you are hurt by the fact that you don't get to see him play as consistently as you probably would like to, because if you did, I think maybe you wouldn't come around to him being the greatest player of all time, but you would understand where this is coming from. And having shared a field with the kid, he ain't a kid no more, with the young man, he's the real deal, man. He's the real deal.
Yeah. Well, he's done it in this tournament. I mean, had the three-run homer in the Canada game, had the big game the other night against Colombia. So Trout has definitely come through, and you know, I agree with you on the World Baseball Classic. I've enjoyed it, and one of the reasons I've enjoyed it is because I've seen the players care about it so much. If they care, I care.
Right.
And it certainly beats sitting back watching a couple of spring training games, you know? And where else am I going to get to see all of these all-stars together on one field playing in a game that matters? Never happens.
Oh, well, because so, all games, they don't take it like that.
No. I mean, the All-Star game is an exhibition, frankly, and this is not. So, World Baseball Classic has been impressive. All right, Scraber, do you have a couple of other notes to give us?
Yeah. We're going to skip
moving around in some potpourri action here.
Yes, we're going to skip, and we're just going to go right into the bed. But Tony did before. We're doing a mini back page here because there are some funny things out there.
What's going on that's funny out there?
J.J. Watt has done something that many people aren't really sure that it actually counts. Here is J.J. Watt telling you what happened. Oh, come on, J.J. Watt. I just clicked you.
J.J., you got a nice setup. You got to speak when spoken to, pal.
Out here playing with my parents at a par 3 course. Does a hole-in-one count at a par 3 course? Because I just got my first ever hole-in-one.
Yes.
Over the water. Over the water.
I love how his dad goes, over the water, like he wants everybody to know it was over the water. So the question is, does a hole-in-one count on a par 3 course? For everybody who doesn't know what a par 3 course is, if you don't have time to play a full course, you can play a par 3 course. It's a lot shorter, takes a lot less time. But
It's a lot more fun. I only play executive courses.
Wait, what?
I love
executive.
Yeah, I love an executive course. I think they're fantastic.
They are. I've played many executive courses in my life. Actually,
and I will tell you that if I ever get a hole in one on an executive course, it is going to count in my record book.
Of course,
is that going to be with the bogey golf?
I don't understand what the what the controversy is all about. J.J. Watt hit a ball over the water. It went in on his first shot. That, by the very definition, is a hole in one.
Yes, you are correct.
That's what I said. That's exactly
saying,
what I said.
I'm not saying that this should be, is not a
hole-in-one.
That
should be a hole-in-one no matter what.
I'm not saying this is not a hole-in-one. I just want to... I looked for what golf course they were on, what hole they were on, so I could see the yardage. But it's a hole-in-one. I mean, it doesn't matter how far away it is for me. I've never had one before. I would gladly take a hole-in-one on a par 3 course.
Are you sure? Because you had to look up the length of it and all that just to qualify it.
Yeah, you were making
it
kind of difficult.
Because there is a golf course here in San Diego.
You made it seem like you don't really want to count it.
There's a golf course here in San Diego called Loma Santa Fe Executive Course, and there's a few holes there that are like 65 yards. Now, that is a little bit different to me than a hole that's 97 yards, because 65 yards is a lot closer.
Let me ask you this, Scraby. If you're playing
putt-putt... Let me ask you this.
Oh, wow.
If you're playing putt-putt golf...
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a 25-foot hole.
We're not going to make the comparison.
And you hit it through
here.
The windmill,
we're
and
not.
The ball goes in. Do you mark a one on your scorecard?
Well, if it goes through the windmill and goes in, heck yes.
All right, then.
But if it's like the whole
so
first hole.
So why are you being critical of a 65-yard hole?
Let me ask you this. Scraby. How many have you holed out from 65 yards out? Forget it being an executive course. Just a...
Maybe like once in my life. I know for a fact I've holed out from like 100 yards once.
Well, if that was your tee shot, you would add a hole in
one. It's not like you're holing in 65-yarders like consistently or even remotely in a range where we could count that as being insignificant.
I wish that I was draining 65-yarders every day. That'd be amazing. All right, moving on to the next story we have. Yesterday, Utah State lost, and CBS is actually taking, or TNT is taking some heat for how they handled something. At the end of the game, when Missouri was leading 74-61, they zoomed in on a Utah State cheerleader, and she was very sad. And her lip was quivering like she was about to cry. She was trying to hold it together, and then they went back to the game. And then I guess the first time wasn't enough. They went back to the Utah State cheerleader who's still crying. And people online are saying that TNT shouldn't have done this because this poor girl is going to become a meme forever. A GIF forever.
Good for her. She'll be famous.
I don't think she wants to be famous for this. Tony's clapping.
Whoever knew who she was
she's
before
already,
this.
She's already
big.
Responded. She's already responded to it. She doesn't... At least the appearance in her response doesn't seem to.
What did she say?
I think she made one of those. She made one of those memes where it was like the one time I was like I didn't want to be a cheerleader or something like that, and then she has in a little small print, and then I went viral, or then I became a meme. Is what
yeah,
it
she
said.
Should.
She's
she
famous.
Should.
She's
tell
being
the people.
A good sport about
tell
this.
The people. Yeah, tell the people on social media. To get a life. Stop being so mad about everything.
I found this a little difficult to watch, to be honest.
Oh, come on. You loved every second of it. And the second they flipped back, you were probably scooched your chair closer to the TV screen.
I was like, look how sad she is. This
I
is
love
awesome.
This. You did. admit it.
So if you're a Yankee, wouldn't you think you would get, like, every perk in the world to be a Yankee? It just seems to me, I've always thought, you get everything for free. It doesn't matter.
What are we talking about now?
The Yankees, apparently, have to pay for their own Wi-Fi on their flights. The Yankees make the players pay for their Wi-Fi.
Hey.
That's how they afford all those free agents.
That's what Brett Gardner said. He told Garrett Cole, it's your fault. Your contract is too big so they can't pay for the Wi-Fi.
There you go.
Also, in a very
sad
story.
That is good baseball banter right there.
In a very sad story, a man has sued Buffalo Wild Wings because they claim that their boneless wings are wings. Buffalo Wild Wings has responded and said, you got us. This is a clear-cut case. You know, our boneless wings are all white meat chicken, and our hamburgers contain no ham. So thank you, sir. Try again.
Our hamburgers contain
is
no ham.
Is that a
ham.
Real lawsuit?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Get out of my corner.
Oh, they also say their wings are 0% buffalo. Daily Gambits on the other side. Gwen and Chris.
Monday show will get you all.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.